Through me you pass into the city of woe. Through me you pass into eternal pain. Through me among the people lost, for I, just as the founder of my fabric moved, to rear me was the task of power divine, supremest wisdom and primeval love. Before me things create were none, save things eternal, and eternal I endure. All hope abandon ye who enter here. Such characters in color dim I marked, over a portal's lofty arch inscribed, whereat I thus, master, these words impart hard meaning. This poetic sequence has taken from Dante Alighieri's The Divine Comedy, Inferno, is a very sober and frightening description of the eternal agony that awaits beyond the gates of hell. It is a vain place of wandering, in an abyss of self-loathing, a chamber of ceaseless moans and outcries of woe. All hope abandon ye who enter here is a title befitting the wretchedness and eternal despair that dwells within its walls. The outcries of terror and fright share the common plight of an existence devoid of hope. For the sheer essence of hell is this, a life without hope. When a man falls into hell, as Shakespeare once noted, he falls like Lucifer, never to hope again. With the pace of a thunderbolt, Satan was forever cast down out of heaven. Luke chapter 10, 18. And with him, all his hopes destroyed. Forever he wanders the earth and the places below, adorned with a crown of hopelessness and clothed with fear. And he, being stripped of all hope, would love nothing more than to lead humanity down that same path to perdition. The enmity that Satan harbors against God is undeniably directed toward the crowning achievement of God's creation, man. Mankind has become the focus of his assaults because he has no one else which to wage war. God has already defeated him, but still he persists. It is that persistence which led Adam into sin. But man's hope of salvation was still not destroyed. The sin of Adam may have temporarily fractured that hope, but Adam and all his descendants would not remain in that state of disrepair. If this were so, if the Creator could not heal and restore that which he has made, then what would be the point of having created it, just to watch it destroy itself? And so, as Athanasius once asked, what then was God to do? But this God knew from the beginning. Indeed, his plan for man's salvation was already in place prior to his creating the universe. The incarnation was always his intention. To once again restore unto man the hope of salvation through Jesus Christ was God's design from the beginning. But prior to his becoming flesh, God chose to exhibit patience with man by first preparing man's heart to receive the hope of the coming of his Son through the Scriptures, instilling hope as a way of life. As our epistle this morning reads, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." From the law of Moses to the reign of Zedekiah, from the prayers of Esther to the lamentations of Jeremiah and the prophets, God was preparing the hearts of men for the hope that would be revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. It is that same hope that caused the prophet John in this morning's gospel to charge his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now this John did, in order to guide his own disciples to Jesus. And quite truly, John's own faith was bolstered by Christ's response when he says, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Jesus' words here would have most certainly inflamed the hearts of John and his disciples, as they undoubtedly hearken back to the words of the prophet Isaiah, who predicted that these same signs would accompany the coming of the Messiah. As the passage reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because of which he anointed me. He sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of recompense, and to comfort all who mourn, to give those who mourn in Zion glory instead of ashes. They shall be called generations of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for his glory." Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The glory to which Isaiah is referring is none other than the hope of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. He is our hope incarnate. Hope took on humanity in order to mend the fractures caused by sin. Hope has a beating heart. And we who have come into the church, our hearts too beat in unison with that hope, the hope we have in Christ. This hope is special. But what good is our hope if others cannot see it living within us? The world has hopes and cares of its own to tend to. The worldly man hopes that tomorrow will bear as good or better fortunes than those of today. He hopes for occupational success, long life, and fame. As a preacher once said about the cares of the worldly man, he hopes for pleasure and domestic peace. The whole range of hope is within the compass of his eye. But my friends, I tell you this morning, our hope is quite different. Just as we have been fashioned in the image and likeness of our Creator, so too we bear the hope of Christ within our hearts. Most definitely, our hope is quite different from all the rest. Our hope is, as 1 Peter declares, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And so what will you do now that Christ's hope has been prepared for you? We have been chosen by Christ to manifest that hope to a dying world that is without hope and meaning, whose inevitable destination is hell, the city of woe and eternal pain. Unless we share that hope that can only be found in the church, the ark of salvation. As we approach the Nativity, let us remember that with it comes the hope of our salvation, a hope that we are charged to share with all the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.